We ask that you'd bless your word to our hearts as we go through this series tonight, Father, as we look at being a Christian in this world around us. And Father, all of us that are here tonight, we have no stomach for pretend spectator Christianity. Those days are over. Actually, they never really began. You never recognized them anyway. You want radicalized Christians. And if that's true, we will be the most loving, the most wonderfully bold, excited, filled with joy, changing the world, and leading others to the love of God that this world has ever seen. We know, Lord, by the world events, your Bible tells us that things are coming and that your coming is not all that far away. In fact, we pray, Lord, right now that we be ready to meet you. We have no guarantee that we'll see the sunrise tomorrow, but we do have the absolute guarantee that if we trust you, we will see you face to face. And so, Father, tonight, as we look through this series, as we march through this series, we pray that you'd bless it now to our hearts. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Grab your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And if you, now I got to tell you, if you're jumping in tonight and you have not been with us in this series, you're going to be wondering what in the world is going on, especially when I get to the title here in a second. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 to 14 is the theme for this mini-series we're looking at regarding being a Christian. And tonight's title is being a Christian while being a wife. And last week we looked at being a husband. And so I really shouldn't be up here tonight. My wife Lisa should be teaching all you guys tonight. But a lot of my notes and stuff has been through, Lord, what do I say? And going to the Word of God and then saying, Lisa, help me out here. Give me advice. And I think I can do that. She has stuck with me for 30 years. And that is a miracle in and of itself. To put up with a kook like me is a miracle. So I'm telling you right now, tonight, ladies, girls, if you're married or not, listen up. Wherever you find yourself in whatever situation, listen carefully. Because tonight we'll be careful to be looking at the Word of God and what the Bible has to say. And the temptation tonight, as it was for the men last week, but I think the men made it. Didn't they make it?
Amen.
Guys, didn't you stick through for the whole message? The ladies tonight, you're going to want to stick through because it is good for you. And you hold a very special place, according to the Bible, in the heart of God. Very, very special indeed. So the title, Being a Christian While Being a Wife, is what we're looking at. Colossians, Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. He writes this, chapter 1, verse 9. He says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, that is of their faith in Christ, 2,000 years ago, this church was flourishing there. He says, we do not cease to pray for you or to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom, listen, and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father, and I love it, who has, here it is, qualified us. That is incredible in the Greek language, that God did it all for us. Amazing. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood. That is, that Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb for our sins, even the forgiveness of our sins. So each week we've been throwing pictures up on the screens, and today we look, or tonight we look at being a wife, and there's a brand new wife right there, and all the scenes that you would picture in your mind. There's a wife praying, and how much is going on regarding that. So many things that we look at, and they look very normal people. They're very common people. But what does it mean in our lives for us, or for you ladies, to be a Christian woman? But even, listen, more in light of what we're talking about, a Christian wife. What does that really mean? And you and I are very, very, or we should say, very committed and serious about fighting a post-Christian era, I believe, I know people don't want to hear this, but I believe that America is a post-Christian nation. We live in a post-modern culture. And that whole attempt is manifested in trying to redefine everything down to what human life is. We're hearing all about that right now. What about marriage? That anybody should be able to marry as many and or what they want to. None of us should encroach or try to impose that it should be a male and a female that ought to get married. God says, no, I got a plan. We live in a very strange time. But when we consider about being a Christian wife, what are we talking about? And what does that look at? Number one verse, jot it down. Everybody get your pens out. This is a non-spectator service tonight. You're going to be writing these things down. And here it is. Number one thing that you look at, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3, 29. And this is written, by the way, by Paul the Apostle, who you know his past. He was a Pharisee. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was a Jew that converted to Christ. And for that, the Jews wanted to kill him. He writes in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. How many of you are wives tonight? Raise your hands. Remember that tonight as we go through this study. God sees, and we need to break the way we see it, God sees a male and a female, a husband and a wife. He sees them absolutely co-equals. The Bible says that they are co-heirs with Christ. When we begin to get off on this cultural redefining that a man is somehow over the top, better and bigger because he's stronger, or whatever chauvinistic thing is spun in the society, that's wrong. And in like manner, when the society begins to communicate to us through whatever media platform there is, that women are the most superior and we don't need men. That's the big thing right now. Women don't need men. Listen, you can say that all you want and you can shout that all you want. I happen to know what my Bible says, and God says that a man and a woman need one another. We certainly know that's true in culture. You can't have a family. You can't have a country. You can't have a state. You can't have a world without male, female. So we're going to be using the same outline that we applied to the men. That's fair, isn't it? To the ladies tonight, number one, jot it down. Number one point is this. A wife has been given a unique position. And what position is that that the Lord has established? Well, first of all, a woman has a special place in God's creation in that she is, by revelation in the Word of God, an elevated creation of God. Yes, Adam came first. And God says, because Adam came first, man has a special place regarding authority. And let me say, in that authority, the man's responsible for a lot of things that God has laid on his shoulders. But in a co-equal environment, God has laid certain burdens, I'll call them, cares, concerns, on a wife's shoulders. We need to stop thinking that somehow one is greater than the other, because nowhere is that depicted in Scripture. But God has set an order in place. She has a unique position. Genesis 3:20. And Adam called his wife, her name Eve. That word in Hebrew is life giver, the one from whom life comes out of, because she was the mother of all living. Eve. At creation, the Lord had declared everything good. You've read your Bible. On this day, God said it was good. And on this day, God said it was good. And everything was good. Have you read it? Of course you have. All along through, good's good. God's going, that's good. This is good and that's good. Everything's good. And then on the final day, he goes, that's very good. And then the first thing that there's a break in the action about everything being so very good was what? What happened? God says there in Genesis, mark it. Genesis 2:18. And the Lord said, it is not good. What's not good? You can almost hear the universe screeching to a halt. What? It is not good. The angels might have said, what's not good? It's been going so well. He says, it's not good. That man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate, a complement. And then the Bible says in Genesis 2, 22, that the rib which the Lord had taken out of Adam, he made into a woman, and he brought her to man. And Adam said, now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. According to God, two become one. Isn't that cool? Young kids tonight, if you're in here, I don't know, but you need to tune into the fact that no matter what the culture does regarding marriage, or no matter what you see depicted on TV around the world about how a woman ought to be treated, God says, no way. It is good for them to be one. It's good for them. God established and created them both. He didn't stamp one USDA approved and the other one not. They're both God approved and God blessed. But he says, you know what? It's not good that man should be alone. And how did God fix that? Most men will say, by giving him a Harley. We'll have to send security to that region of the church over there. Some might say, well, you know what? As long as I have a new car, you know, or whatever it is, or maybe it's money in my pocket. No. Hasn't life proven to all of us by now that you can have all those things and there's loneliness? And so then people embark upon some sort of bizarre definition of what a relationship will be. If I have these things, I want to have the benefits of sexual relationships with a woman, but I don't want to commit to marriage. Isn't that amazing? I've always found that amazing. That a man thinking like that wants the woman to commit herself sexually to him, but he's not going to commit anything to her. Ladies, if you're in that sort of a situation, you see these feet God gave you. You run. Oh, but he said he's going to marry me someday if I just give it up. You know what? You get up and you take off. Don't get sucked into that trap. It'll destroy your life. It does nothing but scar your soul. Listen, ladies, God has positioned you in a very unique place, and it is holy to God. Proverbs 31:10. Proverbs 31:10 says, a capable, intelligent, and virtuous woman. Who is he who can find her? She is far more precious than jewels, and her value is far above rubies and pearls. Listen, the heart of her husband trusts in her confidently and relies and believes in her securely. Isn't that awesome? That's the way a marriage ought to be, according to Proverbs. That's a very powerful statement. Genesis, listen to this. There's a post-Eden warning. See, Jack, this all sounds great. I know, but hang on. It sounds great, you're saying, but what's the reality? And here's the reality. I love the Bible because it's so incredibly honest. Get your pen ready. You're going to want to write this down. Genesis 3:16. The latter end of the verse, it says this. God is speaking and it's post-fall. Adam and Eve have messed up. And God says, listen, your desire. This sounds great on the surface. It's pathetic, though. It's English. This is what it says in English. Your desire shall be for your husband. Doesn't that sound great? Well, it's not great. Just wait for a second. And he shall rule over you. Say, hey, what's the deal? I'm to have a desire for him, but he's to rule over me. Well, actually, in the Hebrew, it means this. Your desire is to run ahead of and be controlling over your husband. But he, in contrast, will attempt to rule over you. Is that not what we're seeing in the world today? Is there not this battle? Listen, when Christ is not in a relationship, there is a battle of the wills. You know what? This is what we're going to do it my way or whatever. And every couple goes through that. I mean, Lisa and I got married as a Christian couple and we still went through that. I love to take drives. I don't get to do it anymore. Don't have the time to. But I used to love to take drives. And so we were newly married and I, as you know, my heart, I love to be down along the beach or and along anywhere I can smell salt water. And so for us, get up on Saturday morning and it would be, hey, let's take a drive to San Diego. And she would say, no, let's take a drive to Santa Barbara. Well, I don't know if you checked the map. Those are in two opposite directions. And we got married young. You would think, when you're just young, you just get along. You're just too young to know any different. And she was 19 and I was 21 and we're going to San Diego. No, I think we're going to go to Santa Barbara. And did you know that you can have an argument over what should be a very blessed day? It actually happens. from things as subtle as that, there's a battle of the will that begins to take place. And if those things are not resolved, you know, the Bible says regarding your husband and wife, make sure that the sun does not set upon your wrath. That means settle your argument with your husband or your wife tonight before you go to bed. Y'all know why? I don't know why I just said y'all. But do you know why? Because when you're in an argument and you go to bed and you wake up in the morning, the bed may be a California king, but it ain't big enough. Have you noticed? You feel like you're 1,000 miles separate from that person that you love and that God has ordained for you to be with till the Lord comes back or until you die. What is wrong? You're one flesh. God has brought you together. But there is this warning. There will be within the woman, the wife, a strong driven desire to take the lead or take the reins from her husband in life. And you say, well, Jack, that means just all of us husbands, we just need to buck up and grab those reins and hang on to those babies and never let go. That's not how that's not how you're going to win. In fact, it's not about winning, believe it or not, as so much of what we understand when Jesus said, if you want to save your life, give it up. We call those his divine contradictions. They're amazing. You want to live? Yes, Jesus, I want to live. Then you know what? Then just surrender. What? Yeah, that's it. You want to have a blessed marriage and a great experience with what God has brought the two of you together for? Quit. Quit trying to be the one who always wins. Quit trying to be the one that has got to be the last word in the argument. Because, listen, the Lord will not be in it. And left unchecked, it will create a very, very bitter place. It ought not to be. Number two, a wife has been given a unique responsibility in a marriage. Unique. And according to the Bible, the woman, Eve, her name, ladies, in a sense, you are a creator, you are a comforter. You look at a woman's work detail is amazing, but look at a wife's detail. And then if you had a kid onto it, a child, oh my goodness. But think of a woman. She's been designed to create. She's a comforter by nature. She's a worker. She's a leader. Guys, let's be honest. Women by far have more leadership skills than most men have ever walked on this planet. It's true. But God says, no, we're going to let the dopey guys try to figure it out. Women are amazing. Once in a while, a George Washington comes along and it's like, you know, if he lived today, he would have the cell phone typewriter going and all this kind of stuff happening. But God has positioned a woman in a very special spot, and she's got leadership, management skills, and on top of it, she's a follower. She's been asked to follow. She can be a banker. She's to be a lover. And again, as I said, if she's a mom, she's got the kids to take care of. Especially when you have young children. It's like herding cats. It's impossible. And then the husband's supposed to come home, and she's supposed to look incredible. And he's going, hey, come on, let's go make out in the room back there. She's, well, you know, he hasn't eaten yet. And this one's diaper's all full. And this and that. And help me out. Help you out. I've been working all week. I remember Lisa knows this. She's sitting right over there. I remember we had babies and I was healthy. And one day I got sick and I had to stay home from work. Let me tell you something. I got healthy quick and I went to work because it was so hard being at home and taking care of what happens inside of a house. That's if you have kids. But God has called a wife to have an amazing, unique responsibility. Proverbs 31:12. She comforts, she encourages, and listen, and does her husband only good all the days of her life. Wow. Proverbs 31:27. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not lazy. She's very excited about having a home. A Christian wife is a praying woman. People will often say, you've heard me say this before, you know, when you're doing premarital counseling with a couple, they think that God has brought them together that they might be happy all the days of their lives. Happy ever after. And that's cool, though. That happens. That'd be sweet. That's great. But that's not why he brought you together. He brought you together to make you holy. He brought you together to teach you how to be a servant like he is. He brought you together to show you a model between his love and his relationship with the church. It's amazing. The Bible says in the Old Testament that Yahweh, God, is married to Israel. And the New Testament says that Christ Jesus is engaged to the church, the bride of Christ. Why would God reveal his desire to mankind in terms of a marriage? Because on earth, it's the most holy, sacred thing that we can get to until we get to heaven. You ever think of that? That's the way it should be. That's the way God wants it. It's an amazing thing. But a unique responsibility, I believe, that a Christian woman praying, and this is a tough call for some of you ladies here tonight because you've been praying for your husbands and they've been lost for years. They won't come to church. They make fun of you when you come. I know you've told me. And when you go home from church on Sunday or Wednesday, they make fun of you when you get home. And you keep putting up with it. And you just keep praying. See, what do you got a new word for me tonight, Pastor? Keep praying. Something will happen. Something will happen. He may wake up tomorrow and his mind is changed. You know what? He might stub his toe. He might get in an accident and break his nose. He might hear some news from the boss about this or that. I don't know what it is. I don't need to know. You don't need to know, frankly, either. As long as you say, Lord God, just save my husband. Open his eyes to your love. Great thing is, we've seen it happen so many times. And talking about love, number three, a wife has been given a unique love. Proverbs 12, verse 4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband. What a loving thing to say. Solomon said that. A wife's love is empowered by God. Women have an amazing relatability to God that I think a man has to work harder at to get it. A woman has this relationship with the Lord. She understands that love. Guys, it's harder for us. A wife's love is empowered by God. I'm not saying that a man's love is not. I'm just saying that a woman can often just derive special strength and power. Because God, I believe, has given that level of grace. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, wives, listen, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands so that, listen, if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. That doesn't mean they had numerous wives. The wife. When they see the purity and reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair or the wearing of gold jewelry. They would embroider the jewelry, actually, even in their hair. And fine clothes. He's not saying, are you saying, Pastor Jack, is he saying that we shouldn't wear jewelry? He didn't say that. Is he saying that we shouldn't do our hair? He didn't say that. Well, how do you know? Because the next line is, putting on of apparel. Does he not want you to wear clothes? He wants you to wear clothes. He's saying that's not your beauty. It goes on. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the inward being of who you are, the unfaded beauty of a beautiful, gentle, and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in the sight of God. There is something about a woman who loves the Lord and she just glows. There's a purity about it. The world doesn't understand it's the purity, but let me tell you, have you ever watched those investigative programs where they're analyzing these insane serial killers, how they had a grotesque ability to go after innocents? Ted Bundy was a demonic master at that. Why? They saw a purity of somebody. And in the satanic realm, they wanted to destroy that. Quite a while ago, we did some teaching in what the Bible had to say about rape. And how the Bible deals with a rapist. There's something more going on there. The robbing, the killing, the destruction. God holds a woman very precious in his sight. And the Bible says if a man is to rape a woman, his life is to be taken from him. Nowadays, it's all, you know, he's just expressing his First Amendment rights. Or he didn't know what he was doing. He came from a broken home or whatever. And the innocent pay. It's wrong. The beauty of a woman is an amazing thing. And the Bible says that when she loves God, there's going to be a joy and a glow about her. She has a unique love. And a Christian wife is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Number four, a Christian wife has been given a unique word. And what we mean by that, Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. Listen to that. And on her tongue is the law of kindness. I told you this before, ladies, listen carefully. Start practicing Proverbs 31:26 at home. You say, Pastor Jack, you don't know what kind of man I live with. I know, that's why I'm telling you. Start practicing this. Proverbs 31:26. She opens her mouth with wisdom. That means God's going to give it. The Bible says wisdom comes from God. That's cool. Number two is that on her tongue is the law of kindness. Start speaking kindness to your husband. Say, man, but you know, I barely like him. I understand that. Obey the Bible. Don't obey your feelings. All of us will just keep getting in trouble if we obey our feelings. Obey this book. And God says, do this. It's almost like he's saying, come on, I dare you. Do the book. Watch what happens. And by the way, I challenge anybody in here tonight. Take the Bible. Apply it. Watch what happens. The Bible says of itself, it's alive. I love that. I love it. Speak to him. Ladies, be wise when using what I wrote down as husband words. Husband words. Do you think he's handsome? Tell him. No, I can't tell him. His head's too big already. Listen, tell him. Just tell him. Let God deal with it. Tell him. Did he do something kind? Tell him. Listen, did he do something really dumb? Don't tell him. Let it alone. Why? Because you're nurturing an environment where you're going to speak kind and wise words to him. Now, you could speak wise words if you say, now, honey, you should not have licked that wall socket. Thus, you've just been electrocuted. Listen to my wisdom, and I shall speak kindness unto you. But listen, you'd be surprised because, guys, I think you and I are the same. I learned before the age of five, I learned to tune my mother completely out. And every boy knows how to do that. I don't care what culture or what planet he's from. If mom's going, you know what? And you're looking at your mom. I'm serious. You're looking and it's like. You can't hear a word she's saying. Any boy learns how to do that. And it's sad, tragically, it's carried throughout life. You just, When a woman drones on, the man tunes out. The man tunes out. Listen, shock him and say, you know what? I really love you. Amen. You know what? You're looking mighty fine today. Say something. Because he's expecting maybe the opposite. Try it. The Bible says to do it. Speak a word. Proverbs 14:1. The wise woman builds up her house, but a foolish woman pulls it down with her own hands. That can be done by using words too. Proverbs 15:1. A soft answer turns away wrath. Point number five. A wife has been given a unique influence. Proverbs 31:28 says, her children rise up and call her blessed. Thanks, Mom. And her husband also, he praises her. Wow. See, Jack, are you kidding me? Is that possible? Oh, it's possible. You know what? If you have been a wife or a woman who you have grown up in a rotten environment or a picture that shows marriage as a disaster, that's all you've known. That's all you've seen. You know what the dangerous thing is for you? And we feel for you. Is that you'll begin to think, that's just how it is. And I want you to know right now, that's not how it is. It's not how it is. Girls, ladies, if you're single, don't marry a man unless you are impressed with his Christianity. Oh, Jack. You set the standards too high. We're talking about your life. Trust God. He'll bring the man along. But if you're married, maybe your marriage is crazy and it's not working. The reason why a marriage doesn't work is because one or both are not doing it God's way. The amazing thing is God is so waiting that even if the one begins to step out and obey the Lord, he begins to shake that marriage. And it's a joy as a pastor, you get to see this stuff happen in people's lives. There was a woman who they've now moved on to another state. I won't say their names. I have to tell you, she came and she met with Lisa and I years ago, and she said, you know what? I caught my husband sleeping with coworkers, plural, then a neighbor. And what do you think I should do? You know, Lisa, well, you need to pray and you need to just go to the Word and get your strength and go to these verses. And I'm thinking, shoot them. No, I'm kidding. But as a guy, I'm thinking, where is he right now? Because that's how guys think. You know what she did? We went to the scriptures and it says, listen, God hates divorce. But exactly according to the Bible with what's going on in your life, you have a second option. Outside of reconciliation with your husband, the second option is you have grounds for divorce. You know what she did? She prayed, fasted, prayed, fasted, fasted, prayed, fasted. I don't know how long. Lisa will remember. I don't know how long. Guess what happened? I almost fell off the pulpit one day. Her and her husband came into church, sat down, they had Bibles. They absolutely, for the years that followed, their marriage took off and they became so incredibly strong. That woman had our and has our undying appreciation. Unbelievable. I've never seen a woman put up with stuff and commit it into the hands of God. In that case, there was a great ending. Amazing. God's word, nothing is impossible for him. Number six, a wife has been given a unique opportunity. A unique opportunity. And that is in Ephesians 5:25. The Bible says to be loved properly is that wife's unique opportunity. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, husbands and wives. It says here that husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Can anybody just remotely imagine the depth of love, maybe sort of, that the Bible says here, husbands, love your wives to what degree? Well, I'll tell you, just as Christ also loved the church and went to the cross for her. How much is a husband supposed to love his wife? Go to the cross, dude. To the cross. Do you love me? Yes, I do. Get on that cross. Isn't that amazing? Ladies, stop listening to the culture. God says you are so precious that the equivalent is what Jesus did for the church. Listen. Here's the purpose, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water of the word. Husbands, that means you are to be giving your wife the word of God. All over. Pray it on her. Put it on her head, over her shoulders, all the way down to her toes. Washing her in the word, the Bible says. I can't imagine a woman saying, don't wash me with that. When the husband says, listen, before you head off to work, I want you to know that the Bible says that I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of hope and for a future, and to give your life a full and complete and a glorious end. Can you imagine a woman hearing that from her husband as she's heading off to work or as he's leaving the house? Wash her. She might say, you know what? I don't feel right today. Things aren't just connected today. You know what, sweetie? The Lord is your strength. Go take a bath. Get some bubble bath and the Lord's your strength. Read the book of Psalms or read the book of Philippians. Wash her in the word. Give her a word. Call her up. What are you doing? Calling you up? Listen. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. thank you. It's amazing. The Bible says again, Colossians 3:18. Wow, listen to this. Colossians 3:18. Wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting in the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands. You say, well, what's that? Why is that such a blessing? What kind of a deal is that? A woman, a wife, is never, according to the Bible, ever to be abused. Ever. In any way. Never to be broken. Any group, club, religion, whatever, that diminishes the value of a wife is going directly against the creative authority of God himself. And our culture, man, the sick, pornographic culture of ours is destroying the value of women. And then our culture sits around and goes, we don't know why rape's going up. Have you ever thought that kids at 10 and 11 years old are getting pornography on their cell phones? Not my kid. Oh, boy. It's never your kid. The husband is to be watching out and promoting what is the very best for his wife. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Doesn't the Lord say to us, call to me in the day of trouble, and I will answer you. Shouldn't a husband be like that for the wife? The incredible opportunity that a wife has is that she is to be loved in a special way. Number 7, a wife has been given, we're almost done, kind of, sort of. A wife has been given a unique ministry. And when I say ministry, a wife has been given an amazing power to establish her husband. This, ladies, guys, you can just tune out. Pay attention, ladies. Guys, pretend you're not here right now. A wife's ability to minister to her husband, she underestimates. There are people who have affairs with people they don't even like because she, at the watering hole at the office, the bucket, well, you know, the thing, says to him, you know, you're such a nice guy. Well, he doesn't get that at home. Maybe, I don't know. And just like Potiphar's wife with Joseph, flirting, flirting, flirting. Satan knows this. He tempts. In the same fashion, a wife will be tempted. And here's the thing. The ministry of a wife, she has amazing power. Number one, she has the power to put into her husband, in this order, by the way, men, now you can tune in. Men, respect and love. Women want love and respect. Men want respect and love. That's why a lot of shenanigans takes place at work, because there's the respect zone and there's no love involved. People, men will have affairs with women. They don't even love them. They don't even like them. Isn't it weird? Because he perceives her, the alien, the estranged person, this person, she's communicated to this married guy somehow that he's respectable. Let me tell you something, Christian wives. When you communicate to your husband that he's respectable, it slams the door on the world out there beyond your house. You want to protect your marriage? You have incredible ministry of speaking to your husband. I'm not talking about in a horrific, terrified way. No, I'm talking about a real relationship. And she speaks in a way and establishes her husband. You've got that power. And you can shut the door on anybody's attack against your home and your husband. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Listen to this. Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will pick his companion up. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to pick him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? The one may be overpowered by another. Two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. When that cord is wrapped with three strands, it's not easily broken. Guess what? Isn't it interesting? Two, he was saying two, 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 and then he says a three chord strand's not easily broken. Because in your life's relationship, Christ is in the center. And your life is to be wrapped around with his, with Christ as the core. I may get mail about this, but I don't care. If you live for her, you're going to get messed up. If you live for him, you're going to get messed up. If both of you live for God, you're going to do just fine. You want to know why? Because you've got your eyes set on him, the author and the finisher of your faith. You're running towards him, both of you running together. You're going to wind up all your life's journeys being shoulder to shoulder until you get to the end. And that cord will not be undone. God says it's not going to come apart. For some of you tonight, you need to make Christ the center of your life. You've tried everything else, but you haven't tried him. It's amazing. Proverbs 31:31. Listen to this. Proverbs 31:31. She has a unique ministry. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. At the city gate. Did you know in Proverbs 31, it says that the husband goes to the city gate? It's a Middle Eastern cultural term. The men would sit and do the judging of the city, the conversation of the city, the relationship of what was going on. They would pass edicts and rules. It's where all the big guys met. He's there talking. Proverbs, he sits in the gate. Well, wait a minute. It also says here, 31:31, that her work is spoken about in the gate. What does that mean? It means that the husband says, have you guys seen how incredible my wife's job is doing? I mean, back then they would say, did you see? She is cranking out the coolest donkey baskets you've ever seen. Or whatever it was. She makes the best fruit or has the best wine or the best whatever. The book of Proverbs 31, read it later. It's all about her hands. She works. She's up all night. She's ministering to her kids. None of her family's cold because she knows how to knit, it says. And her husband goes to the city gates. And what does he do? He brags about his wife. Proverbs 31, read it. It's awesome. We need to do that more, guys. Well, I don't know, Jack. My wife, I don't know. She hasn't made me a fruitcake or anything lately. And I don't know about anything like that. You know what? Why don't you just calm down, mister, and start praising her? And take care of her like that. It's amazing. Number eight. Oh, we're doing good. We're on time. Number eight. A wife has been given a unique defense. Kind of touched on the thing I mentioned a moment ago. A godly wife provides for her husband in a way as an amazing shield against this world. Number one, jot it down if you can. Number one, she defends her husband against spiritual enemies. How? I tell you what, you guys are reading the book, The Power of a Praying Wife. Wives, pray for your husbands. Are there things you, I don't know, it's possible. Are there things that you don't like about your husband? Pray. You say, no, I was thinking about, you know, taking this course or sending him to camp or something. I don't know, but maybe he'll change. And that's great. But listen, the greatest thing to do is to get on your knees and pray against the spiritual forces that are coming against your life. The Bible says they're real invisible forces. Number two, she defends her husband against physical enemies. And I don't mean she fights your fights for you. I'll just say that their marriage is tight and strong. And when the world comes knocking at the door with flattering lips and flapping eyes or eyelashes and a sweet little talk, you know what? That husband can say, you know what? You can just head on down the street because you don't know what we got going on here. And then third, she can defend her husband against enemies, foreign and domestic. And what do I mean by that? I mean that the defense that a woman has been equipped with by the hand of God can protect her marriage, even if this guy is called away on a month-long sales trip to Miami or he's deployed in the middle of Afghanistan. He can't wait to get home. Ladies, you have that incredible power And I call it a defense. I don't mean a defense in the way of an attack. I mean a defense to ward off the evils that come against your life in your home. Number nine, a wife has been given a unique mission. And as a wife, listen, as a wife, you're not your husband's maid and you're not his mother. You are his wife. You like that? I wish I made it up. I got it out of a book. It's in that book we're reading. It's in The Power of a Praying Husband. Stormy O'Mardian says, listen, your wife is not your maid and she's not your mother. If you wanted that stuff, you should have stayed home. The Bible says a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave to his wife. He doesn't go from mommy and then over and gets married. What is that? You'd be nice to me. I'm going to call my mom. Can you imagine? If your mommy's boy tonight, that's got to stop tonight. Okay? Your wife is your lover. She is your partner. And God has ordained it so. And so you make it work. You just make it work. But ladies, your husband is a unique mission. And you have the unique mission of ministering to him. Galatians 2:18 says, and the Lord said, remember, it's not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 24, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. The word is what God, you know what scripture, what God has joined together, let no man separate. That's a decree of God. He is serious about that. Woe unto any person that separates a marriage. Wow. And then number 10, and we're done here. A wife has been given a unique touch. Wives, your home has your fingerprints all over it. And I mean that in a great way. I'm not necessarily talking exactly, although it's very important to many people. The way that your home looks, or the way that it might smell, or the way the decor is. I know that some people, they just, you know, it's the goal of their life, and it's just wonderful, and that's great too. People have different personalities. It doesn't matter. I guess what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter if you live in a tent, or if you live in Volano over here. If there's love in that house or tent, people know it. And when there is not love in that house or tent, people know it. You can smell it. And I don't mean stink. You can just smell it. You can feel it. You can feel it. And a Christian wife has an amazing ability. You know, you've heard this old saying that when a woman, I really don't know what it means exactly. But when a woman starts to nest, have you ever heard of that term? I see heads bobbing, yeah. I think it means when she wants to make a home. Is that what that means? Somebody help me out here, quick. Well, whatever that means, have you ever, I can assume where that term comes from, because we used to have chickens. And you see a chicken, and when she wants to lay an egg, let me tell you, she goes to work. And she's got stuff, and she's got branches and sticks, and she makes this little nest, and she's got her thing going, and she's moving around, and it looks like a tornado. And then when she's done, she sits down. And it's actually comical because she just looks so happy. So totally content. And I'm not joking. Maybe some of you people have chickens. We went to the farm supply. This is way back and whenever this was. Forever ago. 20 some odd years ago. And we told the guy, our chickens lay eggs in the morning and they lay eggs in the afternoon. Twice a day. That's what? We have four chickens, and by the end of the day, we got eight eggs. And this guy's going, that's not happening. I'm telling you, it's happening. I don't think it's anybody sneaking in there and putting eggs under them. And another guy came by, and he said, listen, do they have a cage and a coop, and they have this? Are they free to run around the yard? Yep. Do they go in the coop when they're ready to lay an egg? Yep. Are they well fed and watered? All the time. The guy said, you know what? I said, what? He said, they're content. If they're content, they'll lay twice a day. Isn't that amazing? A woman has a heart to build a home and to make it her thing. All right? Listen, that's been given to you by God. And a husband appreciates that. The Bible says in Titus 2:3, the older women, this is church life right here. The older women, likewise, listen, this is what should be going on in every church. That they be reverent in behavior, not slanderous, not given much to wine, teachers of good things. That they admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children. To be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. See, Jack, are you kidding me? This is the 21st century. That's insane. Oh, okay, then don't read Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. Go do it your way. Oh, see, the culture's already done that. I'm not saying here that a woman has to stay at home. I'm not saying that. In this world that we live in, it's difficult. But listen, the Bible's very, very clear that the older women, they've already gone through all this stuff. Maybe the older women are even widows. Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. But are you an older woman? If you're an older woman and you've said, yeah, man, I've done that. We've been married for 400 years and all this stuff. And you know what? Hey, listen, we can use you, ladies. There are kids who are married. I say kids. They're 20 years old. They had a horrible home example. They don't know what they're doing. They love their husbands. The husband loves the wife, but they don't know. Well, what do we do? He grew up as a foster kid, and I came from a divorced home. The Bible says, get the older women who have gone through all this stuff and get them plugged in with the younger women. That's church. We need you. And imagine if you save by doing that one marriage. We have mentoring couples at this church that minister to couples that are struggling. What a great thing that is. And here we go. And this is the last verse. A woman has a unique touch. Esther. Did Esther not have a unique touch? Wow. Esther chapter 5 verse 1. Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. And she stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And so it was when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. Guess who did that? The Lord put that in his, just went. He looked at her. Man, there's Esther. And the Lord just did a number on his heart. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter, which if he didn't lift it up, you die. Right there. If he didn't lift it up, you're dead. He lifts it up. She approaches. She drew near to the king and touched the top of his scepter. He loved her. And she communicated to him, I love you. And she spoke to him. Wives, you have an amazing, challenging, no doubt, tremendous task. But I want to encourage you. A lot of people are bailing out. You know this. Across the nation, suicides are up. Marriages are under pressure. No money. It's a lot cheaper. It's a lot less expensive if tonight you decide to make your marriage work. And if you have a good marriage, work harder at it. If you have a great marriage, you have to work really, really, really hard at it. But God created marriage to make us holy. God created marriage to make us more into His image. And that's why tonight, if there's any kind of a rift between you and your husband, you and your wife, you feel like someone's cut your arm off. You don't feel whole. Hey, look at the upside. You're one flesh. You got to get back together. Make it work. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. And maybe tonight there's some healing that needs to take place here in this house. Father, I pray that if there's a woman in this gathering tonight who just does not sense her value, her worth, that tonight somehow by your wonderful grace and mercy, she would begin to think even. Just if she began to think, God, do you love me that much for real? Is all those scriptures true for me? I want you to think about that for a moment. Maybe tonight you're here and you are engaged in a relationship. It's not necessarily bad. It's not that you should throw it away, but you know what? Maybe you should slow down. Maybe there's some things that you need to see happen because we're talking about both of you, your lives forevermore. Just slow down. Get some things resolved. Maybe it's her temper, or maybe it's his view of money. It doesn't matter. Just review some of these things. And then maybe tonight, you're here and you have never heard that Jesus loves you. That the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. You guys, that's not religion. I get kind of irritated when somebody says, oh, you're a Christian, you're religious. Well, there are Christians who are religious, and then there are people who have a relationship with God and they follow Jesus. And I'm inviting you tonight to have a relationship with the living God. Well, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please be praying. Father, I pray that you'd come upon these wives here tonight and fill them with your spirit, fill them with hope and with that view from heaven's perspective of their value and worth. And Father, for husbands tonight, that they would leave this place divinely touched by you, that his wife is to be prized and desired more than gold and more than diamonds, more than pearls. Tonight, right where you're at, rededicate your marriage to the Lord right now. Tonight, right where you're at, say, Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. God of the Bible, speak to me if you're real. Listen, my friend, if you're here tonight and you don't think he's real, then what's the big worry? But why don't you just try it? He's been waiting this whole time. Ask him. God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. Show me. Speak to me. Don't be afraid of him who loves you so. Father, we just ask you to bless the marriages in this church radically, powerfully. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Tonight, if you need prayer for any reason, there'll be pastors and